All right, welcome back. We had a big hour ahead. Later in the hour, Al, we are going to be diving deeply into Brandon Graham and these poignant things said last night on his show. When you lose a leader like him, there is no replacement, all right? And, Rhea, I have a request.
Yes.
It's my request. It's not from anybody in the studio. I need you to expunge all references to the 23 years since the Phillies got shut out by 100 loss team. Because one of us, I'm not saying which one in this studio, was on the 1998 team.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Awkward! And two days after that season, what did they do with you, Rube?
They made me the assistant GM.
Right, they felt they could do less damage in the front office.
Love that. That's awesome.
And by the way, he has virtually no recollection of
that
shutout.
No, it was 23 years ago.
All right, let us, on the line with us, Al, is a great columnist who really welcomed Nick Sirianni to town. With a rough column yesterday in the Inquirer. The great Mike Sielski's with us. Hi, Mike.
I didn't think it was that bad, Angela.
Well, here's what, Mike. Here's where, and I'm not sure it's you. The headline attributes Nick's play calling to arrogance. Were you thinking of that word when you were slamming him for those play calls?
Well, yeah, because I used the word in the column, too.
Oh, I missed that.
I'm getting a lot of feedback on that. People saying, how can you say he's arrogant? I don't mean it like he stood up there in the post-game press conference and pounded his chest and said he was the greatest and all that stuff. I'm talking about the nature of the plays that he called in that first and goal from the one-yard line. You know, I think Nick is cut out of the same kind of cloth that Eagles, that Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman like in their head coaches. Andy Reid was like this. Doug Peterson was like this. Chip Kelly was like this in that, you know, the shortest, most direct route to the end zone isn't the one that they want to take all the time. It's got to be, you got to scheme your way into the end zone. And you got to kind of show how smart you are. And Nick is part of a generation of coaches that think this way. And that's why I thought it was arrogant. Look, you had Jimmy Kempsky on yesterday, and what he said, I completely agree with. Line up, have Jalen Hurts, who is 6'1" and 223 pounds, sneak the ball four times. I don't care that it's a yard away. Get a half yard the first time, get a quarter of a yard the second time, get a quarter of a yard the third time, and you're in the end zone. There's no reason to run plays where your quarterback is rolling out and has only one option, and you're putting Greg Warden in the game. It was silly.
All right, so what you're saying is he's trying to be clever when you don't need to be clever. Just play football. Just ram it in there, right? I mean,
that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah,
but is it, does it help you at all that he fell on the sword afterwards and said, man, I screwed that up. I'm looking at those plays now. Those were bad play calls. Does that help you process what happened at all, Mike?
It helps a little bit in that, and I wrote this, that it suggests that he will, you know, be reflective, self-reflective about this and what's the term, self-coach, and that maybe he'll learn a lesson from this. And that's exactly what you would expect out of a young head coach. But that doesn't mean that the decisions he made were right. And I will say this, Angela, I was having a discussion with somebody about this yesterday. I think in this town, we give more rope to coaches who create a certain impression in a press conference. We love press conferences around here. And Andy Reid kept everybody at a distance. And Chip Kelly, clearly, you know, his arrogance showed through when he talked to the public through those press conferences. And so I think the public is probably willing to give Nick more rope and give him a second chance because he owned it in the press conference. But that doesn't mean that the decisions he made were good, and it doesn't mean that the decisions he made in the moment weren't reflecting a kind of arrogance that, hey, I can scheme our way from 1 yard out. I don't have to just have the quarterback sneak it or hand it off to my running back three or four times.
I got you, Mike. That makes sense. Now, Mike, I thought it got more worrisome yesterday because yesterday, in reviewing his play calling, he revealed something that, to me, I thought was pretty basic football. He said he was more interested in the plays than the players. Listen to what he said.
In my opinion, we were moving the football, and then it would stall out. And when it's stalling out, you got to think players over plays. And I got to do a better job at that. And that's my responsibility. That's me holding myself accountable.
No wide receiver caught a ball in the last 37 minutes of the game. Quez Watkins, who was a major force, 117 yards early in the game, never saw another ball, Mike. Mike, isn't that exposing his inexperience?
Yeah, I think it is. And again, to go back to what I said earlier, I think Nick comes out of a kind of a newer generation of coach in the NFL that wants to scheme his way to points, whether to show how brilliant he is or because that's the philosophy he believes in, whatever the case may be, where, as Nick rightly pointed out, you have good young players on offense. Get them the ball. Don't think it's all on you to try to design a play or call a play that's going to get Dallas Goedert or Devontae Smith wide open. You know, just get the ball to your playmakers. You know, be simple in what you're doing. And it's good to hear that Nick said, okay, I got to think about that. That's what you want in a young coach, is to go through the mistakes that he made and then to say, okay, how do I fix them?
Yeah, but Mike, you also, I thought, tightened the leash a little, because you said, okay, we know you knew you made some mistakes here, but this isn't going to be acceptable for too long, right? I mean, this is a city that's
right.
demanding, right?
That's the reality of Philadelphia, Angelo, yep. especially with this Eagles team in this division this season, right? I mean, look, Washington's defense has been chewed up the first 2 weeks of the season, at least in terms of the yardage it's given up, and that's supposed to be their strength. The Giants are the Giants again. They're 0-2 for the fifth straight season and in disarray. The Cowboys are missing, you know, several key players due to injury and suspension and stuff. I wrote this last week. The Eagles just have to be competent. And even with all these young players and a rookie head coach, they should stay in the divisional race all season. And when you have a game like Sunday's that you can win and arguably should win, and you don't because your head coach makes some mistakes, there are repercussions for that. And if you don't think that, you know, people, if Sirianni continues to kind of work out the kinks or make these mistakes, however you want to describe it, and this team continues to lose games, this is Philadelphia, man. The leash is going to be short. Everybody knows it.
Maybe really short. Last thing, Mike. He has a bad game calling plays against the Cowboys. Is that the end of the honeymoon?
It's not necessarily the end, but it's certainly going to be more concerning. And he's going to have to, if that happens, he's going to have to show that he can bounce back from it. Look, we're learning about this guy, right? We don't know a whole lot about him. And he had gone a long way since that opening press conference. I know people hate when we bring this up, but he had gone a long way to kind of reassuring everybody that, okay, he does know what he's doing. He was nervous the first time out talking to the public, but now they look solid and competent. Okay. You got to keep showing that, because you're new at this. And every time you make a decision that doesn't work out or that is easily second-guessed or even first-guessed, you're going to have people saying, ah, see, maybe he doesn't know what he's doing here. That's going to come with the territory. He's going to have to deal with it.
Mike Sielski, boldly pressing forward in troubled times. You're the best, Mike. Thank you, pal.
Thank you, Angelo.
Rube, now this is – I'm fascinated because – Nick Sirianni says he often gets feedback from his family because it's a football family. You grew up in a baseball family.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Did your dad give you negative feedback when he thought you needed to hear it?
My dad and my mom. My mom's been in the game, too, since she was 17 or 18 when she, you know, got to meet my dad and married my dad. So I get positive and negative from them all the time.
You do.
Oh, yeah.
So if they get, would you really pay attention to negative? And you respect your dad's a baseball guy, a lifer, right?
Yeah.
Would that, like, I got to assume Nick's father, a good coach, his brothers, two of them, coaches, are saying to Nick, you got to make sure you're using the weapons you got. Make sure Quez is getting the ball. Make sure you're using the Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, I don't know the history of Nick Sirianni as much as others do.
Right.
I do know that he's got a family, football family,
and
that's important. I think the big thing about this is it's about making adjustments. This is a new coach, brand new coach in a huge football city, and it's a guy who I believe is going to make adjustments. He did not make the in-game adjustments that are necessary, but I do think that he'll make the game-to-game adjustments that are necessary because I think he's a good coach. I think I like what I've seen. Obviously it was a disappointing loss because, I mean, this was a tough team. This is not like a pushover. We're not, you know, playing, you know, Joe Blow out there. Right. This is a 49ers, a pretty good football team, and he just has to make some adjustments and get experience, and that's all part of the process here, I think.
When you traded Cliff Lee for Philippe Aumont, did your dad call you?
No, he did not.
He should have. it's a missed opportunity.
Maybe
there.
He should. Yeah.
Amish is out of line from Dallas. Hi, Amish.
Good morning, Angelo. Good morning, everybody.
6 days from the Big D next Monday night, Amish. Are you going to go to the game?
I'm supposed to go to the game as of now, but, you know, Angelo, after seeing what I saw Sunday and the play calling blundering, I just want to mention really quick, when they hired Sirianni, I didn't like the hire one bit. I wasn't a fan of it. And I'm still very, very skeptical about him. And after seeing what I saw Sunday, every other play, I was looking at a buddy of mine who's from up there that lives in my neighborhood. We watched the game. And I looked at him like, what, you know, WTF? Like, yeah. What is this? You know, it was just a complete 180 of what we saw Sunday, the previous Sunday. And I don't know, Angelo, you know me. I'm a diehard fan, man. But I couldn't buy what that was, what was being sold to me on Sunday at all.
Amish, I got to tell you. I followed a lot of coaches, managers who came through this town over the last 30-plus years. I can't imagine a tougher situation to be in than Sirianni is in Dallas next Monday night.
Oh, my God.
Coming off that debacle.
Yeah.
Honestly, whatever he did to prepare for the second game, he should not do to prepare for the third. He should have scenarios mapped out from all different places on the field so he knows exactly what he wants to do in that moment. Because he was kind of winging it there down near the goal line, and it cost him the football game. Amish, if he does that next Monday night, he's in trouble already in this town. He's going to lose the city in game three.
Yeah, you know, Angelo, this is what worries me the most. Two things, actually. Boston Scott was active for the game Sunday, correct?
I love him, yes.
The guy never saw a single play on the field, at least unless when I watched, which I watched probably 58 minutes of the game, and Jordan Howard wasn't even activated. You couldn't activate the guy for some goal line plays? I mean, why is he on the practice squad? What are you holding him for? Let the guy go somewhere if he can play. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
Now, I'm going to tell you, I think Boston Scott is a weapon. They haven't used him once yet.
Don't use him.
Jordan Howard has to be available for exactly that situation, not Miles Sanders. Howard's the power runner into the middle.
I mean, look at what the 49ers did with Juszczyk. That's their power runner. They were down their starting running back, and they still incorporated the guy, and he hurt us on, you know, key second down plays to keep the chains moving against us. I mean, We were at their mercy with that. It was terrible.
All right, listen to me. This is tremendous insight. You have to be there Monday night. Don't lose faith in game three. Amish,
well, Angela,
having an eagle fear there helps. You got to go.
I know, Angela. Here's the problem for me. Sirianni, this is the biggest game of the year for him. Whether he's in a position to get us into the playoffs at the end of the year or not, the Cowboys is the biggest game of the year on our schedule, in my opinion. And
it is.
A lot would agree.
Yes.
And so if he can't come down here on Monday and put together, 60 minutes of smash-mouth football and put these people in their place and let, get the city back in his hands, I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the season. I will tell you this. I intend to be in the building.
All right.
My wife is a diehard Cowboys fan, so if we go, it's her and I. And I don't know if I want to deal with listening to her the whole way home.
Listen to me.
Another egg.
Amish, friend to friend, you got to shut her down for the week. No.
Shut her down how?
No marital consortium for the week. I know you. She's probably going to want to jump on you at some point. No.
I would put a lock on the liquor
cabinet. Understand that, Amish? Until the game is over Monday night, no intimacy with Amish. You with me?
I'm with you, Angelo. No problem.
He's taking one for the team, Al. I appreciate that. Amish, give me a team you would never want to be a fan of.
I didn't hear what some of the options.
Al, give him the option.
The Devils, the Braves, the Sabres, the Celtics, the Cowboys, the Patriots, the Giants, the Raiders, and the Lions.
I still have a bad taste in my mouth from what happened with the Phillies in 2009 against the Yankees. So I'm going to say the Yankees.
The New York Yankees. Mm. I think you have hit a home run
Mr.
Al Morgani. They haven't won a damn thing in 12 years, and they're run by bad stuff. I don't like the
Not
Steinbrenner.
Not as bad as the Mets.
Well, the Mets, yeah. All right, well, don't give anything away. 215-592-9494. What do you think of Ruben Amaro left that organization? He had seen enough. Lots more ahead when we come back. Some very poignant stuff from Brandon Graham, who acknowledged he's done for the season, Al, and then talked about how it happened and what the impact it will have on his teammates. That's next. WIP Sports Time 818.